Episode 7.
If I can help one shop do better, I feel like I've had a great day.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers. Let's get started. I'm excited to introduce my guest today. We have Gene Morrill from Certified Automotive in Glendora, California. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you for having me.
Are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Absolutely.
Opened in 1978, Gene Morrill, owner of Certified Automotive in Glendora, California, has accomplished something that has never been done before. He has won MotorAge's Top Shop 5 out of the last 7 years, 2008, 9, 11, 12, and 13, therefore prompting an in-depth interview that will be presented in two parts. Listen to some great wisdom from his passion for being an active owner, his 2 weeks and a day rule, where you'll learn how he refocuses his team on what matters, to his special aha moment when he kicked himself upside the head. Gene also has a perfect customer model, and learn how he intends to move to a 2 to 3 day work week. There's a lot to learn from Gene because he's a giver and wants to share his remarkable results. Part 1 was in episode 6. Now listen to part 2. Let's go. Gene, starting with 1 and 4 up to 14, rank the order you feel these particular items place when it comes to the qualities and offerings of a parts supplier. 1's the most important, and 14 would be the least important. Availability.
Well, I think that's up in the top 5, probably.
Do you have a real number?
I would say 2. It's real important that they're available.
How about trust?
Trust, I think, is I build everybody I would be a 1 because I invite people to come in that are my suppliers, and I give them expectations, and if they can't meet them, then it doesn't matter what they can offer price-wise or whatever, then I don't do business with them. My number one supplier is family-owned, and I know the father and the son and if I need something, I have their cell phone number, and I really enjoy dealing with family-owned companies. Now, it's a huge family-owned company. They have a huge warehouse and a bunch of stores. It's not like it's a podunk little, hole in the wall.
Sure.
And I don't enjoy some of the chain stores because they rotate their staff through so quickly. I mean, every time someone comes in, it's a different person. And I just don't feel that that's a good model. And I do buy parts from them, but I enjoy the family atmosphere of my number one supplier.
Thank you. How about knowledgeable?
I think that's probably a 5. I mean, we're smart enough. We can figure it with the computers now. You don't really need a knowledgeable counterperson. You can, I mean, with pictures, with internet, with all the things we have available and staff, my staff is very well trained in the back room. We do very well with that.
Even as a backup, someone pretty knowledgeable back at the supplier that can help you
They're not there anymore. They hire young kids that bang on computer keys, and if it's something that is outside the norm, I find it very challenging to find anybody that employs somebody that's older that knows that.
How about relationships?
I think I would put that at a 4. I mean, I think we all have to have I think that's a given that you have a relationship. They want your business, so they're going to work hard to do that. And my opinion is you put most of your eggs in one basket, that supplier will take care of you. And we set expectations at the get-go. So and the other guys are just kind of fill-in guys, and they'll work for you too. But,
product selection.
That's where, everybody, what's sad about the parts industry right now is because our industry is so fractured that everybody seems to think that the cheapest part is the best part. It's very difficult to find somebody that carries a higher end or the quality part. So it's forcing most of us to go with whatever part they stock because there's so many parts now. It used to be 5 numbers of brake pads so you could carry multiple lines of A, B, and C, or good grade or bad grade. Now everybody's going or migrating to the cheaper part because all these warehouses are coming in and undercutting everything. And unfortunately, owners don't look at quality versus price a lot of times. So
where does it rank? Where would you rank it?
I would rank that 3.
Product quality. I think you almost talked about that too.
Yeah, well, quality has to be number one, because if you want to be in business, the customers will only come back so many times to hear you've got a failed part, which unfortunately happens. I mean, we had a rack and pinion the other day, and we were reading post after post. The guys are putting in 4 and 5 racks to get one that would work in this particular model car. Well, and that's even, you know, manufacturer racks, aftermarket racks. It was just and that's wrong. That's sad. If our parts industry, you know, they cave too much, but, you know, and I meet with the CAWA and through one of our organizations, and they admit, if they're going to be in business, they have to put out not a poor quality part, but a lower cost part. And obviously you can't put quality in a lower cost part.
So where would we put product quality? You've already done 1 through 5. Would that be at least near a 6?
Oh, yeah, 6, absolutely.
And how about price?
Price to me would be very last.
That's 14. How about delivery service?
That's important. I would say 8, because we're in an environment where I'm 5 miles from 8 suppliers. So, I mean, we can... You know, we always want it. We're organized enough that I don't need the part right now. We make sure we have a 30-minute to an hour window that we're sure we get everything, and that's understood up front. And if we need it quick, I can always drive there if I have to, or send my porter. But we're not up against this where so many guys bring in a car and have to have it done right now. You know, we bring in a car, estimate it, order the parts online, and we have a process to where – you know, we're working on one car and then get the estimate, then we work on the next car and then try to have a cycle.
The expectations of your supplier, since you rank delivery number 8, is it that you're looking for, from the call or the order that you click on the internet, what, 30 minutes or less?
Yes.
And 30 minutes
to an hour.
30 to an hour, and that works well for you. How about technical training? How do you rank technical training from your supplier?
Well, it's important, of course, but I would say probably a 9. I mean, my staff, you know, everybody offers technical training, and I wish they offered more service advisor and owner training, you know, because they do a great job of low cost technical training, but the suppliers are very poor at offering almost no service advisor, phone skill, you know, owner profit training, and you know, so you can fix a car, if you don't know what to charge or how to present it, you know, you're lost.
What a theme from all the interviews that I do. It's incredible how you guys are all 95% on the same page. Let's do training management, and let's throw that service writer piece in there. Where would you rank that?
Well, I wish I would have, you know, gone up closer, because I would rank that probably, you know, more up towards the 5 range.
How about import coverage?
Of course, I'm foreign and domestic, so, you know, I want the import coverage. The European coverage, you know, we don't do a lot of, so that doesn't really affect me. But, you know, the imports are at least 50% of our business or more now. And the American cars are making a comeback, and they're starting to, you know, I don't think, well, there is no such thing really as an American car, because they're all made, I think, jointly now. So that's kind of a silly question, in my opinion, because there is no such thing as an import car. Toyotas are made in Tennessee, so I don't know if that make them an American car or an import car. So.
I know. How about loyalty programs?
You know, those are nice, but again, that would be towards the end of the thing. It's nice to get a spiff, but man, I would sure rather have a quality part, you know, and than to have all these spiff programs. Or I guess I'm different than everybody else. I can't believe your friends are so excited to get, you know, points or this or a trip and those are nice, and I take advantage of them as well. Don't get me wrong, but if I had my my choice, I'd say get rid of all the spiff programs and roll it into a quality part.
How about marketing programs?
Well, right now, I don't think people give a darn about a brand. In the old days, we had people come in, I want Quaker State Oil, or I want this, or I want this, you know, Bosch part or Bendix part. Today, I just don't see that. People want their car fixed and get out of there. I have zero people ask or even care about what kind of oil we use, what weight of oil we use, which is really scary because they don't even know what oil's going in their car. They don't even know what's being done to their car. They don't know if it's recycled oil, used oil. I mean, to be, you know, silly. I mean, people just, that's not high on their priority list anymore with life getting in the way like it does nowadays.
Sure. And finally, warranty support.
One of my big discussions I have with suppliers is if I have a problem, I don't want the manufacturer to send it to them to give me 4 weeks worth of waiting to tell me it wasn't anything they did. So my suppliers know that if I ask them for warranty support, whether it's inside, outside the warranty program, that they participate and help me however they can. And if they can't do that, they won't get my business.
So, Gene, rank these strategies from 1 to 11, with 1 being the highest on your most important factor as it relates to your own business and focus and your current success. How about customer experience?
I believe that should be a number 1. Without customers, you don't have a business.
How about revenue generation?
Probably a 3. You know, we have to make money, unfortunately, to provide great service.
Marketing digital assets like your website.
I would put that at a 4. You know, we've got to have exposure out there to get our company so people know who we are.
And maintenance sales.
It should be more important, but I put a 7 just because right now we're still having enough breakdown repairs to overshadow that.
What's your goal for your mix is one day?
60-40, 60% maintenance, 40% breakdown repairs. The more maintenance, the better. It's more profitable.
Technical training.
I would say an 8. It's that's the challenge. You know, you're it's hard to be handcuffed with these numbers and having to number them.
I understand. Supplier relationships.
I put down a 9 just because I don't have a problem with that, and I'm very good at having good relationships with our suppliers.
Your shop's productivity.
A 5. That's one of the key indicators I look at every day. Is if we're not productive, and then we need to work on it.
Finding quality techs.
I put 6. Just it's a challenge for everybody, but I constantly look and try and stay ahead of the curve. Instead of looking when I need them, I look when I don't need them. So I have, you know, a bank of people to pull from.
Sure. Business management training.
Absolutely. One of the top things. I put it as a number 2. Without knowledge, you can't run a company.
And car count?
I put a 10. I'm really good at this, and we manage car count well. So for me, it's not important at this. I mean, it is important, but it's not important for our company at this time.
And exit strategy?
Again, it should be more important. I put 11 because I still have years left in me. I am planning my exit strategy, but just not putting a whole bunch of effort into it at this time.
I understand. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. If average customer service is no longer good enough, what makes up your excellence in customer service culture in your company?
Well, I think breeding, you know, I said it before, the PC, the perfect customer, and trying to give them what they want, almost giving them a questionnaire as they come in and qualifying them as, you know, your perfect customer. What kind of car do you have? How do you want to be treated? Are you on a breakdown maintenance program? Because a lot of people want to drive their car till it breaks and fix it. And a lot of people want to maintain it so it doesn't break. So you need to identify which track they're on, whether they're a maintenance customer or a breakdown customer. And we try and, you know, do it that way so we can build our perfect customer. We've actually slowed our car count down from about 420 a month to 320 a month. And it's just made our company so much smoother because you're not in chaos all the time trying to fix a lot of little things. You can spend more time with each person.
Thank you. Now, let's talk about some great honors that your company has had bestowed upon them. And let's recognize you for Motor Age's Top Shop in 2008, 2009, 2011, 2012, and 2013. Actually, five out of the last seven. Wow, I'm not sure I know anybody that's had that many in that length of time.
I'm extremely proud of myself and my staff for that honor. It is you know, truly amazing, and I think it just goes to show that if you put your mind to anything, you can do it.
I spent some time on your website, Gene, and you have got this great video about window painting. And so it must go deeper than just putting up a great little message. Is it monthly, weekly? How does that work? Tell us about it.
Well, we have fun. My wife actually helped instigate this. We have a gentleman and a gal that comes in on a Sunday or Saturday every 6 weeks. And whatever the theme is, whether it's Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving, they'll come in and we're surprised as anybody else because we have no clue what they're going to put up there. So they just put something up and we're happy to have it. And people drive by and can't wait till they change it. And they always comment on that. The one, if I have a few more minutes, the one funny story was one Valentine's Day, they put a caveman with a club dragging his wife by the hair. And my wife came in, was mortified by it. And some of the women had made comments, so we had to call them back and they had to change that one up. But it was comical.
They took some artistic liberties on that.
Absolutely. We gave them that freedom.
Tell me about your courtesy vehicle.
I'm so excited. We have a 1957 Chevy four-door wagon, station wagon, that we use every day, all day to drive people home and back. And it's truly amazing. I think most everybody you talk to had something happen to them or a good experience in an old Chevy. And we hear about their stories and memories. And one of our customers' dads owned this since brand new, and he wanted to fix it up. So it sat in our back lot for about 10 years, and we fix it up, get it running, and he never took it. And finally he came to us and asked me to purchase it. So I purchased it, and we just put it as a showpiece. And our around town, people can't sometimes remember the name of our company, but they do remember we own the old Chevy.
Tell me about the associations that you're part of.
I'm a big believer in belonging to everything, whether you participate or not. I belong to our local chamber, of course, which is very strong. I belong to Automotive Service Councils of California, which I am very engaged in. The ASA, the ASE Blue Shield program. I'm one of the few, the green shops that are in the area. I believe in trying to support the NFIB, just a lot of anything and everything we try and support and belong to, especially if they help with our legislation. That's really important that we stay on top of that.
Describe an unforgettable customer service moment that defines your culture.
The funny part, we have a customer called me up and says, "Gene, I'm at Home Depot. I bought this big box and they can't get it in my car." So I said, "Okay, Rose, hold on." I jumped in our shop truck, went down, put the box in the shop truck, and took it to her office for her and set it up. And we used to do a lot more of that. And I wish, you know, we still do. If people need a jump start or they're locked out of their car, we send somebody over and help them, you know, if we can, if they're in the area. So I think that's what I believe business should be.
This reminds me of the great story from Nordstrom. If you recall, if you've ever been to a class and they talk about Nordstrom, where someone brought a set of tires back to Nordstrom, and Nordstrom doesn't sell tires, but they gave the person the money back that they paid for them. And here you are doing helping a person move something.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it makes you feel good to know that you can do that. Again, we want to be the go-to place. If you have any problems, call us. We don't do auto glass. We don't do body work. But if you have a problem and your car is in an accident, you don't know what to do, tow it to us. we will find you somebody to help you. We will do whatever it takes. We'll go the extra mile. That's the right thing to do.
What are you doing? Anything special for Car Care Month this year?
I really, you know, it's one of my big downfalls is I think we do so much for our staff. We always promote it. We always want to help people. We try and do a free brake light check and installation of the bulb, free air pressure check, free, you know, just like a pit stop, we call it, where we check certain items anytime, just come on in. I've always wanted to do, we used to do Boy Scout and Girl Scout car care programs for their merit badges. And since I'm not engaged with that as much, I don't do that much anymore, but, their time, like everybody else, is so valuable that it's challenging right now to do everything for everybody.
Sure. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I am working towards being a 2 to 3 day a week owner where I can, you know, put my staff in place. I've built a home office that I can do my marketing and manage from home a little more. My wife and I want to travel while we're still young. I don't want to travel when I'm on a wheelchair or a walker. So we've kind of committed to ourselves to do the things that we want to do travel-wise. So when we're older, we can enjoy our mobile home with our walkers, you know.
There's a lot there. I'll just let that alone. Where do you see the industry in the next 3 to 5 years?
Very scary. I think 5 years will be okay. 10 to 15 years, really scary with the electronics. And I truly believe that whether it's 10, 15, or 20 years, a car is going to be something you won't own, that you'll lease. And if it breaks, you take it back and get another one. I just, you know, except I'm not talking older cars, but I'm talking like a brand new car. I think the model is going towards throwaway and you don't own. You walk in, you pick up this car and you pay this much a month. Everything's taken care of and you just...
What do you mean? Like it's recycled and then someone else gets it?
Well, what they'll do is yeah, they'll just every so many years, they'll just recycle it and you can either buy the new model or the used model or the refurbished model. I just, the way the throwaway society is, and then once it gets so far that the cost doesn't, you know, generate enough revenue, then they'll just recycle the whole car.
Where's the aftermarket fit in here?
Well, that's the scary part. I don't know that, you know, the aftermarket will be more for performance and for classic cars. And if I were a big warehouse, I'd be scared to death for 10, 20 years down the road. Thank goodness I'm planning, you know, 10 years, maybe a little bit more. So, and again, that's the short-term mentality of an owner is, not my problem 20 years from now.
Very profound thinking, Gene. What are you doing to keep up with technology?
Well, of course, training. Love all the trade journals, the parts, you know, everybody, you know, forward thinking and giving information. We go to training. My guys are required to do 20 hours of training per quarter. And they collect a spiff, of course, because you have to spiff everybody for things nowadays.
Gene, are you doing leader-led online? How are you providing it?
I like in-house. I try and bring trainers in. I have a little training room that we try and do in-house. We try and pull from our best guys. My suppliers are really good. They do lunch and learns where they can come in and they'll give you like 30 minutes or an hour of real intense training. We do so much, whatever's available, my guys will go to. The online's great, but I think interactive is the best.
Okay, so online interactive.
Right.
And when you do training at your training room, is it nighttime, daytime? How does it work?
We try and do evenings seem to work better. A weekend, if I can pull it off. I hate having people give up their weekends because we're a 5 day a week shop. Never been open Saturday. Always believe family and your personal time is more important than work. So we try not to do Saturday and Sunday things. So I would rather do it, you know, on an evening, one or two nights.
Sure. Thanks. Is the car dealer a big threat to your business?
No, Not at all. I don't think the guy that next door to me, the independent guy, is a big threat to me. Have you driven down the road? There's a lot of stinking cars out there. And I hate hearing the word competition. I hate hearing that, you know, we can't give secrets out because this guy might steal my work. That's baloney as far as I'm concerned. It's just the mentality, again, of our industry, and it's sad.
And as our interview comes to a end, I'd like to ask you to give us great words to live by.
Every day is a new day. And I believe giving back is the only way to keep your sanity. I give back by helping other shops that are struggling. I give back through our Rotary Club and our community and helping young people and helping seniors. And so I think you need to dedicate a certain amount of your time to giving back to your community and your industry.
Let's delve into that a little bit about helping other shops. Tell us what you mean. How are you doing that?
Over the years, I've built myself quite a reputation, and some of them I'm not proud of. Most of them I am, as being a leader in the industry and having a very successful shop. Some shops believe that that's bad, and I don't know if they're jealous, but they badmouth our shop. Other shops embrace that, and they call me, and I'm a big what's called R&D guy. I rip off and duplicate other guys' ideas with their permission, of course. And I modify them to my shop. And that's what a group process helps you do. So through that, I'll have other shops through the Automotive Service Council that are struggling, just starting out. And I'll speak at different functions and give them, you know, my philosophy and how I run my company. And then I'll do one-on-ones with guys, and I'll give them some of my materials, some of my policies, procedures, and help them to understand, you know, what I've gained. I think giving back that way does nothing but help our industry.
That seems to be a trend today where people are helping people.
Absolutely. And it's your give back. Sometimes you've done things you're not so proud of growing up, and I think it maybe doesn't fix it, but it mitigates it, you know, to helping others move on.
I love your quote, rip off and duplicate R&D.
Absolutely.
I remember a quote from Jack Welch, former chairman of GE. And he talked about steal shamelessly because there aren't any new good ideas out there. And take an idea and make it your own.
I wish I were an Einstein and could come up with the next great automotive idea, but I'm just not that guy.
Well, who knows? Maybe you'll become him as you continue to work on your own personal improvement. Hey, I have to tell you, I have so enjoyed this show that I'm sure we're going to have to make this into two parts because you said a lot of great stuff. You've been forthcoming, extremely honest, and I could actually tell how much you're willing to give back, especially by being on the podcast, because this is going to be heard by thousands and thousands of peers and everyone in the industry. So thank you so much for your extremely valuable time.
And thank you for thinking of me and having me on. If I can help one shop do better, I feel like I've had a great day.
Thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.